A sometimes contentious 2013 legislative session wrapped up a couple weeks ago, but Governor Walker is calling them back to the Capitol after the Thanksgiving holiday for a special session to delay Walker's changes to Medicaid in light of a rough start to the Affordable Care Act. So this hour we welcome on two lawmakers from western and northwestern Wisconsin to talk about the bills that have recently been debated and passed and what we can expect during the upcoming special session. This is the West Side Legislative Roundup. I'm Rich Kramer, and I'd like to introduce my guests. First, introducing the 30th Assembly District is Republican State Assemblyman Dean Knutson of Hudson. Dean Knutson, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Rich. It's good to be back with you on the West Side.
Good morning. Thanks very much for helping out. Next, representing the 25th State Senate District is Democratic Senator Bob Jelk. And Bob, thank you for joining us as well.
Well, thank you very much, Rich. Appreciate the opportunity.
It's a pleasure. And listeners, now is your chance to ask direct questions to your lawmakers. Give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. Again, we're talking about the session that just wrapped up a little while ago. Also, looking ahead to the special session that's going to happen December 2nd. The number is 1-800-228-5615. And I kind of want to look back on the start off by looking back on the session that just wrapped up. And one of the more contentious issues that the legislature has been dealing with in the last couple of years is voter ID. And the original voter ID law passed by the legislature in 2011 remains blocked in court, but Republicans in the Assembly passed a new version this past session. Dean Knutson, if you could walk us through, what's the difference between this version and the version that's held up?
Sure, Rich. In the Assembly, we feel that it's so critical to protect the integrity of our elections that we've addressed what some have pointed out as failings of the original law. And one of those was that one of the lawsuits had as its basis the fact that some people just have a difficult time getting the documents required to get an ID.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gone back and changed that now so that there's a way around that for those very few people that don't already have identification. It's a simple common sense law. It's one that ought to be in place as soon as possible. We're not willing to wait for years of litigation to go. If there are simple fixes we can put in place and get this law back in place.
So what is that way around? What is that the difference, basically? If a person says they have trouble getting, you know, a photo ID, what can they do?
Right. So in one of the lawsuits, there was an individual who was born in a southern state. There was no documentation of the birth, no birth certificate produced, and none that can be produced since then. And that's something for a lot of us, as we looked at that, we said, well, that's not a situation that we expect happens very often. But if there are cases like that where there's just no way for a person to get the documents they need, there should be a way for them to sign an affidavit and then go forward from there. The other is if there's concern about the cost involved, there's a way around for people that say that they can't acquire an identification because of the cost.
All right. Senator Jelk, I know that, well, Democrats seem to be opposed to these, just to the idea of showing voter ID at the polls. With this latest version that's passed the Assembly, do you see it getting anywhere in the Senate, and do you think it's needed? Is this a compromise?
Well, I don't know what the compromise would be. If anything, you're compromising an electoral process that works. I wish Representative Knutson would explain what problem they're trying to solve in the last election, other than that this is another example of how they're trying to create more burdens for citizens who wish to exercise their basic right to participate in the electoral process. This disenfranchises citizens. It restricts. It goes far beyond what he's talking about. This is a bill that begins to get involved in limiting absentee balloting. Thousands of citizens participate in absentee balloting, and if this were to be put into place, you would end up with thousands of citizens who are unable to vote because they're not able to fit their their vote because it becomes too inconvenient. It would create longer waiting lines. It creates more frustration to clerks in this notion that they're going to create this procedure where you it's called a scarlet letter, where you have to declare your poverty in order to be able to cast your vote as a citizen. It's just undemocratic. It's so unnecessary. I'd like Mr. Representative Knudsen to explain what voter fraud, what problems have occurred in northern Wisconsin, western and northern Wisconsin, in the last 75 years, but particularly in the last election where we had a record turnout in Wisconsin. And they're turning around saying, well, we're going to make it harder for people to vote. It is an example of how this legislature is taking on these divisive and contentious issues that have nothing to do with improve our economy or move Wisconsin forward.
Representative Knudsen, that is a claim that's often brought up by folks on the left side of the aisle, that there isn't a problem. Can you cite any problems in
It's ridiculous for you to attack something this common sense on the basis of asking me to prove a case where fraud took place when the absence of the ID makes it impossible to prove the fraud. It would be like saying to someone, well, we don't need speed limits anymore because we have prohibited law enforcement to have radar or a stopwatch, and so we haven't been able to show that there's been any cases of anyone speeding. So, you know, that is completely ridiculous. We're state legislators. We make state laws. If you go back to 2004, we had organized voter fraud in Wisconsin that was prosecuted. We had cases where MoveOn.org and others came into the state and did voter registration that was proven to be fraudulent. And since we've been looking into that, just in the last few months, there have been cases prosecuted where people have voted in two different jurisdictions. There's just no reason for that to happen. Every time we encourage voters to get out and vote because your vote counts, and yet we allow someone else to do something that might negate that person's vote, it's just ridiculous for them to make that case. And frankly, I think if you look at the polls, the voters in Wisconsin know darn well that it should be just like anywhere else that you have to show who you are when you apply at the polls. For us to have the system where all you have to do is walk in and say your name and vote is it's way too important.
I'd like to bring up a point. State Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald says that he's not in any hurry to take up this bill that was passed by the Assembly. He's kind of taking a wait-and-see approach to see how the court rules on the voter ID law from 2011. Dean Knudsen, does this mean that Assembly Republicans feel the original law will be struck down, or is it just that important, as you mentioned earlier?
Well, I can only speak for myself, but I think I would be safe to say that our caucus feels like it's so important that we don't want to wait and potentially wait for years for all the litigation to be concluded. And so, you know, often is the case that, you know, the Assembly takes the lead, and I think this is just one of those cases.
All right. A reminder to listeners, we're talking with lawmakers from western and northwestern Wisconsin. We've got Republican State Representative Dean Knudsen on the show. He's from Hudson. Democratic State Senator Bob Jelk of Poplar is on. We're talking about the just recently wrapped up legislative session, and in a bit we're going to be talking about the upcoming special session that Governor Walker has called to make changes or to delay his plan to shift people to and from Medicaid in light of a rocky Affordable Care Act rollout. The number is 1-800-228-5615. You can call in, or you can post your question or comment on our Facebook page. Look for The West Side on Facebook. And another bill,
if I can have the opportunity to respond to Representative Knudsen's
Senator Jones, go ahead.
Really distorted view of how the election process works. And the fact is, it's a legitimate question to ask him, what problems are you trying to solve in western or northwestern Wisconsin? Because those are the areas that we represent. And he says that he is trying to improve the integrity of the election process. I will match the practices of clerks in rural communities against clerks anywhere else in the state, in the country, for their performance in making sure that the voters who are casting their vote indeed are the people that they claim that they are. They are, and I'll talk to those people who work to make the process work. They're offended by this legislation. They are insulted, as are citizens in Wisconsin, who now have to go out of the way to get a voter ID simply for the purposes of voting if the courts were to hold this. But let's get back to the basic issue. Senator Fitzgerald, I think, is withholding a vote on this issue because he can't get the votes in the Senate. They aren't there. You've got this compulsive, ideologically driven state assembly that doesn't represent the best interests or the people of Wisconsin and the priorities of Wisconsin. I think in the Senate you've got enough moderation that's putting the brakes on this proposal so that it will not be considered by the state Senate. He's ignoring the legislation that would begin to impose new restrictions on absentee balloting. What does he have against absentee ballot? Why in the world would you create a procedure where it makes it more difficult? The goal of public officials and to strengthen democracy is to expand the opportunity to vote, not restrict the opportunity to vote. So I'd love to hear the explanation as to what's wrong with absentee balloting, that they've got to impose limitations that will make it harder for people to vote.
Sure. Dean Knudsen.
If I could. Well, and this was a separate bill, and what we are looking at here is that we've had what's called in-person absentee voting in Wisconsin, meaning that you no longer have to have any reason to get an absentee ballot. You can just decide that you want to vote absentee. You can go in during the weeks prior to the election. You can get an absentee ballot and you can vote. But what has happened is we've got just a handful of jurisdictions across the state that have chosen to have a process in place that is completely undoable for those very same rural towns that Senator Jouk was just defending. So now you're going to have urban Milwaukee and urban Madison, where they're going to choose to have the clerk and the voting places are open on Sundays. In many cases, they've got people busing. So church gets out, and they've got a bus waiting. They're going to take you down and have you vote on Sunday. Well, that's something that's never going to happen out in the rural parts of the state. And so all we're trying to do is standardize things so that there's one set of rules that everybody plays by. You don't get to vote and all weekend long if you live in Madison, but you don't get to vote if you live up in Superior. And that's just not fair.
This really shows how incredibly what your basic agenda is. It is to make it harder for people to vote instead of trying to make it easier. The fact that standardizing means you're going to limit their options when the options will enable people. You seem offended that people may get on a bus and go to vote. You're trying to target minorities. You're trying to target get-out-the-vote efforts. You're trying to target efforts to get people to exercise this basic right. You've been able to sell your case on voter ID because people think it makes sense that they need to show a voter ID. You cannot defend a policy of restricting communities' abilities to say, we are making it easier. There are states that have online balloting because they want to increase the amount of voting. I often get a ballot on a Saturday because I realize I can't be there the following Tuesday. You can't get that very easily in urban communities under their law. So I'd love to hear your defense as to what's wrong with letting somebody vote on Sunday. Doesn't take away my vote, my right. I still can get my absentee ballot. You're trying to make it harder for them.
If you care to respond, Dean Knudsen,
I'd love to, because, I mean, here's the perfect example. So understand, these are absentee ballots. We've had it for years. You get the ballot. You can get it by mail. You can send it in by mail. You can fill it out at 2 a.m. if you want to and go drop it in the post box. There's nothing to stop you from doing that. But in the last few years, we've started a very unique method. Some people call it early voting. Technically, it's not, but it really it is. It's in-person absentee voting, which means that you're going to go to your clerk, and your clerk is going to be open at some non-standard time of the day. But that's only if you live in certain jurisdictions where you get this right that no one else in the state or, you know, in not everyone else, I should say, in the state gets to have, creating just an obvious glaring disparity. And I, if I'm understanding it, what I heard the senator say is that he's used to going in on the weekend and getting his ballot, which I'm kind of flabbergasted by that, but maybe at his voting place, his clerk has been open on the weekends. Mine haven't.
You call the clerk up. That's the way things work in rural areas, Representative Knutson, and they accommodate you. That doesn't happen in the city, so they have expanded the opportunities. You failed to explain why the United States of America, the state of Wisconsin, has an excellent voting turnout because people pride themselves in voting. That there's something so broken that you want to make it harder for people to participate.
It's not about making it harder. It's just about making it uniform so you have one set of rules for everyone. That's all that's a very simple provision that I think everyone can agree on. You ought to have one set of rules. How would you feel if on election day when the polls closed at 8, there were a couple of jurisdictions that said, gee, we'd kind of like to be open till midnight this time? Would that be fair?
In fact, in urban communities, there are many that are there long after 8 o'clock because the lines have been so long.
I'm not talking about if the lines are long. I'm talking about they just decided they're going to do it. What if you called your clerk and she was so accommodating that, you know, you said, well, I forgot to vote. It's 9:15. Can I still vote?
I won't get into the
gentlemen. Let's go to the phones. We've got a caller on the line, and I'm sure we could spend the whole hour talking about voter ID, but we do have other topics that I'd like to hit on. But first, we go to Jane in Eau Claire. Jane, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, thanks for having this, and I just want to say first that I really, really appreciate Senator Joust, and I hate to see him retire from the Senate. He's one that has. I respect him. He looks at all the sides of the issue and this sort of thing, and I think that's great, and I've appreciated the things he stands for. And I agree. I have an absentee ballot, by the way, and I'm grateful for it because I live in town now, but I did live in the country, and a lot of times it is difficult to get there. And it's so much handier to have the absentee ballot, and I agree strongly that we should have access, and that it can be very embarrassing for people to have to, say that they can't afford to get this thing, and to go get it and that sort of thing is a big process. So I definitely agree with Senator Joust, and I also respect your views about the mining in the Pinoki area because I'm real concerned about ruining our North Woods. So I just want to thank you for what you've done, and I'm sorry that you're leaving, and thanks for having me on here, and I hope that things will work out better and people will be more sensible. I don't know if they will be when you leave, but thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Those are kind words. Let me say this is not a process that I don't own my seat. Representative Knutson doesn't own his seat. We're trustees. We're caretakers. And what concerns me the most is the loss of moderation. The loss of a sense of commitment by this legislature to address real problems and solve the common good. And this loss of moderation is what is most damaging and dangerous to the state of Wisconsin. And as we talk about this issue on restricting voter access for 100 years or longer, there has been a push in Wisconsin to improve the way, to increase the opportunities for people to vote. And all of a sudden, we have a legislature that wants to turn the clock back and under some strange notion of standardization, turn the clock back and make it harder for people to participate. We need to get back to the middle. Most people won't. If they think there's a problem, they want us to solve it, but they don't want us to create problems. So thank you for your compliments. On the mining, I must say that we am sure that we will spend a little time
Talking
about the frac sand mining bill that Senator Tiffany introduced that rolls back 100 years or longer of the ability of local government to protect the health, safety, and welfare of their citizens. It is one of the most outrageous pieces of legislation that I have seen in years. It is part of a trend of this legislature of taking away the tools that local governments have to serve their citizens. There's a long, long, long list, and this is one of the most offensive ones. I'm on the committee that heard that bill. There were citizens from in western Wisconsin, northwestern Wisconsin, who testified against that bill. I know that Representative Knutson, a couple of weeks later, wrote a letter expressing concerns, and I'm grateful. I don't know where he was on the day that I was fighting this, or Senator Vinehout was fighting this, or Representative Dano testified. I wish he had been there that day to say what I was saying so that my criticism wasn't viewed as partisan. You only had Democrats and citizens criticizing the bill that day.
Well, let's...
Well, before we go on to that, I would like to talk about that, but I'd just like to echo what the caller said, that you know, we appreciate Senator Chauk's service to the state of Wisconsin. I've had a chance to have some discussions and to work with Bob on the income tax reciprocity, an area that we probably won't talk about today, but I think we're both in agreement that it would not be in the best interest of the state of Wisconsin to cave into what Minnesota has been asking. So they've essentially put up a, a red herring now, a demand that there's no way we're going to be able to meet. But that was just one example, and there have been many others. You know, I think all those years and all those miles, I can tell you, having only been making that drive for 3 years now, when I hear and think about how many miles the senator has driven, the state owes you a great debt for that.
You're kind, and so we will find plenty to disagree on. And I think that the reciprocity was an example where Senator Harsdorf and Representative Knutson and I and other lawmakers in the western part of the state really worked hard to defend Wisconsin's interest. He's right. Minnesota ended it because Governor Pawlenty wanted to help balance his budget, and Wisconsin had to accelerate its payments to do so. Now they're asking for a $6 million bounty, which we are not going to pay in order to have a fair deal between the two states. We'll continue to work on it. There is another issue where western Wisconsin lawmakers have worked together. I've worked really closely with Senator Harsdorf on the issue of synthetic marijuana. And working with the Attorney General's office, I know Representative Knutson is supportive of the effort to change that law to give law enforcement greater tools to get this poison out of our communities, because when we passed a law several years ago, the distributor manufacturer simply changed the formulas a little bit and made it difficult to legally prosecute. So those are two examples of where we do work in an issue that really affects people's lives. And I think it's important to emphasize that in all of these issues in which we have differences of opinion, common core standards and private education, voter ID, no doubt on Medicaid when we start talking about it. But there are some nuts and bolts things. I just wish there were more of them. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, and we'll always have our disagreements. And I think one thing that the caller mentioned, and I think that we can agree, the voters want to see us work together to address problems that the state faces. You know, the governor has signed into law 57 acts this year, and 34 of those had bipartisan votes. I mean, there's a lot more bipartisanship than you might expect going on in the legislature. But we'll always have our disagreements, no doubt about that. So you want to talk about sand mines?
We got to take our first break here, but then we'll roll through a bunch of it. I do want to talk about SB 349. I think that's interesting. We'll get to that and much more. So stay tuned. This is the Westside Legislative Roundup. We've got Democratic State Senator Bob Jauk on the phone from Poplar and Republican State Representative Dean Knutson on the phone from Hudson. If you want to call in with your question or comment, give us a dial up 800-228-5615. That number again, 1-800-228-5615. This is the Westside. You're listening to the West Side Legislative Roundup on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Rich Kramer, and I'm joined by Republican State Representative Dean Knutson of Hudson and Democratic State Senator Bob Jouk of Poplar. The number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. If you've got a question or a comment, you can talk directly to your lawmakers, so dial in. And we already basically, it seems like we got through the arguments or a lot of the discussion about Senate Bill 349, also known as, I believe it was called the Regulatory Certainty Act. But what it would do is kind of greatly restrict the local government's ability to regulate sand mining and other industries as well. The bill came under some fierce opposition, and Tom Tiffany, the author of the bill, said he would make some changes or that it was not finished by any means. But Dean Knutson, Senator Jouk referred to a letter that you wrote and that was signed on by other Republican lawmakers from Western Wisconsin. What's wrong with this bill as it's written now?
Well, I think the authors of the bill have good intentions. They see a problem. They're trying to address it. But this isn't the way I would have gone about it. This bill will have to have significant changes to have a chance of passing. We must protect local control and the ability of local elected officials to have a say over things like lighting and blasting and noise and traffic impacts and things like that. You know, like many people in the legislature, I served in local government on city council and as a mayor, and you know that's pretty common in the legislature. We've got lots of former local officials. We understand how important it is, what a loss that is if you start to chip away at it. What we've got to have here is, when it comes to environmental protections, we want to have clean air and water, and I think there's bipartisan support for that. The idea that all of the environmental protection would be done by the state and that locals would be prohibited from getting into that area or acting in that area is something that I think needs a lot more discussion. I frankly don't lean that way, but some do. And part of the thing is the question is it's got to be based on sound science.
Mm-hmm.
So the question, for example, of dust in the air right now, there's no clear evidence one way or another, but a lot of people have a lot of concerns about silica dust, and I think that if the science shows that there's potential harm or there's a threshold level where we shouldn't go beyond, then we need to take steps to ensure that the operators of the mines don't go beyond those thresholds. On the question of the impact on taxpayers and who's paying for the roads and road wear and tear that happens because of the mines, I'm sure there's a way to protect the taxpayers, and I don't think this will pass the legislature without changes that really do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are the issues. Senator says, why wasn't I there at the hearing? I had meetings in the district, and I was at a Towns Association meeting that day talking about this very issue with some of the people that are being affected by it. And so, I mean, there's different ways to represent the interests of your district. I think our speaking up at the point that we did had much more impact than anything anyone said at the hearing.
Now, Senator Jouk, you mentioned that this is one of the most extreme bills that you've seen as written, by Tom Tiffany. Could any amendment be added? I mean, could you ever be happy with this bill? The idea of the state trying to standardize and regulate something that local control or local governments have done up until this point?
Absolutely not. If you want to do this in the right way should have been to create a legislative council committee in which you bring forth legislators from both parties, and represented groups, but most importantly, local officials who live day to day with the issues and concerns expressed by their citizens. This is really an offensive bill because it not only eliminated over 100 years of police powers, which are the effective tools that local governments have had to protect the health, safety, and welfare of their residents, it would be a retroactive bill. In fact, it could go back, not preempting them, but it would allow the companies to come back and say, well, we don't like the deal we signed on road construction, and we want to reopen it. Mm. It is just so undemocratic and so offensive. And my only point, Representative Dean, is that it isn't that you had to be there. The fact is that it was only Democrats. And, by the way, the most powerful testimony wasn't what I said. It wasn't what Representative Dano said or Senator Reinhardt or what you said when you said it. I was very pleased you sent that letter a week or two after the bill was introduced. It was the testimony of our constituents in those districts who are outraged. And we needed that same outrage on a bipartisan basis because it looked like the Democrats were raising concerns about this. And it should have been a bipartisan fury to protect local government. But there is a broader issue here. This is part of a trend of the legislatures taking away local control. The Republican Party will say that they're the party of smaller government. Well, their version of smaller government is to make it as small as possible with as few powers as possible. The budget passed, froze levies, didn't provide increase in state aid. It restricted local government's ability to create user fees. It made it legal for local governments to set residency requirements. And one that I hope that Representative Knudsen will look into is that a policy that was amended in finance exempts biofuel companies from paying property tax. It shifts $800 million in property tax value from businesses to local property. Up in Turtle Lake, where they had a tax increment district for a new facility that will go online this year, $26 million facility, they created a tax increment district, and this company no longer, as a result of this amendment, the policy the governor proposed and was modified in finance, will shift the burden even further to these local property taxpayers. $800 million. This needs to be addressed. The more we look at it, the worse it looks. And these are small. Most of them are rural communities where once again, the property taxpayers get the fertilizer and the business community gets the flowers. That's got to be fixed, and I would hope he would take a good look at it because it's an example of how local governments are really being hurt without any consideration at all to the consequences.
Representative Knudsen.
Sure. We should avoid picking winners and losers, and unfortunately, with favored new technologies and businesses, that's often exactly what happens. We should also avoid the idea that centralized government is better because they're somehow the experts and that they know better than what locals know. And that's also something to be avoided. I mean, through the entire history of our country and even up to today, you'll see that there's this tendency. We just saw it. I mean, I represent St. Croix County, so we had the placement of wind-generating facilities, the large electric-generating windmills, 400 mm-hmm. feet tall, and control over that was largely taken away from locals and made a centralized process for the exact reason that they knew that people are generally opposed to having those in their area. So now we're just on the verge of having windmills that the locals sure don't want crammed into St. Croix County.
Yeah, they don't want it, and they actually recalled town officials over it.
Exactly. So then you go from that to and also there are lots of tax credits. The wind generating industry wouldn't exist without the tax credits because it's not economically feasible. And now we go on to biofuels, and sure, I agree with the senator that giving specialized pick and choose who's going to get the favored treatment and who isn't, that's not really the best tax policy. Unfortunately, it happens a lot of times. And then we're down to sand mining. Again, you've got this idea that somehow you've got to remove all control from locals. It's got to be done centrally. Just depends on who's in charge. I mean, when the Democrats were in charge, they wanted to have windmill placement handled centrally, and now we've got this proposal to have the sand mining regulated all centrally. I think it is something to be avoided.
And I hope you will take a look at my office. Will contact yours to update you on this issue of the biofuels exemption that will shift $800 million. It was included in the budget. Got no discussion. It was a policy item. legislature decided to just rubber stamp it, make some modifications. It is going to hurt local communities. It's going to shift the shaft to local communities. And I would hope that you would take a good look at it. It's got to be fixed. It is simply so unfair. It's an example, though, whereas I think the legislature knew what it was doing on agree or disagree, knew what it was doing and had a public debate about the issue of these wind towers. In this case, there was no debate. It just was adopted, and the taxpayers got the short end of the shaft. And it's something that we've got to try to fix. In terms of the wind towers, the one difference I would say is that when the legislature has tried to have a uniformity policy regarding transmission lines and creation of and energy, and in this case, it was just a blanket a policy written by and for business groups, and taxpayers are getting the short end.
And we were talking about mining. I want to talk about iron mining and a bill that was passed in the Assembly to that would kind of tweak the restriction of access to property owned by Gogebic Taconite to within 600 feet of roads used for iron mining and sampling work and within 600 feet of most mining-related equipment. This is in reaction to, of course, there was a video of masked folks, environmental advocates, activists, some have called them, threatening workers, creating a scene. And also then an earlier attempt to restrict access to the property would have closed off 3,000 acres about. Is this swallowable for you, Senator Jelk?
No, this is the politics of overreach that led to insult 30,000 managed forest landowners by closing thousands of acres, and thousands of acres will be closed under this plan for public use on land that is not owned by Gogebic, by the way. That's what makes this really strange, is that it's leased by Gogebic.
Leased by.
And then they're getting this sweetheart deal in terms of property tax relief. The fact is that there was a manageable alternative to protecting workers and the public. And it was a proposal that Senator Schultz and I, Senator Cullen, put forth that would have created boundaries around work sites so that you keep people 600 feet away, keep them off the bulk sampling road. Well, then the amendment that the Assembly and Senate voted for basically gives it closes every road, even logging roads that aren't being used or trails that aren't being used, and gives the Department of Natural Resources to close off large chunks of land and restrict access. Now, it does allow for the 9-day gun season. Now, the law has not been signed. I hope the governor signs it. I wish he wouldn't, but I think he's going to sign it. He should sign it in Mellon, by the way, where people are impacted. But next year, it will restrict trappers. It will restrict bow hunters. It will restrict hikers who are not a threat to these workers. And it is an unnecessary restriction. It is a sweetheart deal for this company. And it was an example of how their real compromise could have been accomplished, because I continually offered alternatives to protecting, to language protecting workers and the public. But they basically wanted to give the company the opportunity to influence the department to close as much of this land as they can.
Representative Knutson?
Well, this is a much-improved compromise bill. I'm sure the governor will sign it because it's a good bill. You know, it just protects the general public from dangerous mining equipment and operations such as blasting. And you know, here you've got mine workers. You referenced a video that, you know, they could be subject to accidents or intentional acts. It's good to have a boundary or a buffer. This is a very reasonable amount, 600 feet from the roads, and it is a good bill.
Except
there's no reason for us to
includes that language, and then says, but you can close off a property up to a mile away, because there's a couple of people out there looking at the wetlands. They're going to end up closing land that isn't even close to where workers are.
They're going to, and I'll give you an example where the legislature didn't think about this. There is a bulk sampling site that is located about 100 feet from a river. Now, you can be 50 feet from the river, but you have to be 600 feet from the bulk sampling site. It's an example where they didn't think this thing through at all, except that they want to give the company the opportunity to influence the department. The company wants to close all the land. They've said that publicly. It has nothing to do with the 600 feet. You and I agree on the 600 feet. We agree on keeping them off a road if it's being used. But this goes far beyond that to keep people off the land.
Representative Knudsen,
well,
are there
you know,
the devil in the details
again,
here?
This was a compromise bill. I think it's a good bill that protects all the parties that are involved, and I think it's going to be quite workable. The sooner we have the company get in there and find out whether they're going to be able to meet all the many restrictions and regulations and protections that they'll need to meet in order to open a mine there, the sooner we'll know what else we need to do. I mean, this is really just one step. They've got to go and be able to get what they need to do the evaluation so that they can meet all the regulations.
They've been able to get what they need.
This is the Westside Legislative Roundup, and I'm Rich Kramer, your host. We're joined by Republican State Representative Dean Knudsen of Hudson and Democratic State Senator Bob Jauch of Poplar. We can take your calls, more of them after the break. The number is 1-800-228-5615 if you've got a question or a comment for either of our guests. Again, 800-228-5615. We'll be back in just a bit with more from our lawmakers from Western Wisconsin and Northwestern Wisconsin. I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to the Westside Legislative Roundup on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I'm joined on the phone by Democratic State Senator Bob Jauch of Poplar and Republican State Representative Dean Knudsen of Hudson. The number to call in with questions or comment is 800-228-5615. Before we get into the special session that's going to be happening on December 2nd, I got one last question quickly. And if Dean Knudsen, if you could just kind of sum up what happened late night or early morning in the assembly chambers. We saw an article, the Journal Sentinel had an article talking about how, you know, Democrats introduced a bill to honor victims of Sandy Hook, and some Republicans were saying that they were just delaying. Then the Republicans took up a bill to create anti-abortion license plates when supposedly they said they did not. Then there was something about a tweet. It just seemed like it was really a lot of vitriol going on there. Could you walk us through what happened at the last minutes of that session?
Well, we've had a pretty good bipartisan spirit and working agreement in the Assembly this year, and
right.
I hope that we get back to that in January. In that particular occasion, while we've been able to meet ahead of time, agree on how much time we'll spend debating particular bills. Sometimes it's an hour, sometimes it's 2 hours, and so on. And by doing that and agreeing ahead of time, we've actually been able to be done and finished at a reasonable hour, and we haven't had these overnight sessions. This time there was an agreement that later some of the, I wouldn't say it was the Democrat leadership. I think it happened kind of spontaneously. All of a sudden, they were delaying and playing a lot of games on the floor. There was a what we call a polling motion or a motion to withdraw from committee that went on for a long time. And, you know, tensions and tempers flared, and I think it'll all be better in January. Hopefully even in December when we're back in special session. And there's no reason why we can't get along, but it's very frustrating in the minority party. You know, they make amendments, and their amendments often aren't adopted. Typically mm-hmm. they aren't, and that gets old.
Sure. All right, well, now let's talk about the special session. Governor Walker has issued an executive order calling this special session of the legislature to make changes to his Medicaid plan. His Medicaid plan is basically this. Walker turned down the federal funding that I'm sure a lot of people know about to expand Medicaid to 133% of the federal poverty line, as outlined by the federal government. And instead, his plan would expand Badger Care for low-income adults that bring it up to 100% of the poverty line. And because of that, 77,000 adults with children who did qualify for Badger Care before will now be transitioned to the federal health care exchange. Problem is, the exchange has been kind of a mess lately. So what's going to be happening in this session? I'll start with you, Senator Jauch. What can we expect?
Well,
what does the legislature have to act on?
Well, first of
first of all, the governor's proposal is a fool's choice. The governor and the Republicans failed to do what was right and what was being sought by citizens in Wisconsin, what was being done in other states to accept the Medicaid, $100 million in Medicaid money,
mm-hmm.
and provide the care for all Wisconsin citizens. They abandoned 70,000 working families, now want to pretend they're helping them by insisting that 80,000 poorer citizens delay access to their own insurance to pay the bill. So they're taking health care away from an adult without children making $12,000 so he can continue to provide health care for an adult with a child making $20,000. It isn't necessary.
But that's already passed. Now
the
session...
What they have to do, the governor's proposal, is to now delay the health care for individuals until April and use the money to pay for the health care extending Badger Care. If he had accepted the federal dollars and provided Badger Care to all people. In other words, he could have helped 150,000 people instead of pitting one group against the other. And then he's blaming Obamacare. And I think it's a sick and twisted game that impacts people's lives. Look at Minnesota. They don't have that false choice. They kept their high-risk pool in place for another year, like other states did, like the Hospital Association promoted. And they could do that here. They accepted federal dollars and expanded Medicaid, didn't force individuals on Medicaid. They created their own exchanges and took on insurance companies when they were gouging citizens. Wisconsin did not. Minnesota's rates are 33% lower. More than 6,000 people have been able to enroll, while less than 900 have. The fact is that we've got a chance, if we're serious about providing health care. The Speaker Voss said that Republicans wanted someone to not have insurance, especially when it is through no fault of their own. There's their opportunity. So what we ought to do is adopt an amendment that no doubt will be on the floor, both houses, that says let's accept the federal dollars, even for a 3-month period of time or a 6-month period of time. So there is no cost to Wisconsin, but you can cover everybody. The website's going to be fixed. People are going to start applying as they have in other states. They're going to get the health care they need. It's going to become affordable. And we should quit trying to make this a political fight and hope that the policy fails.
Representative Knutson, do you think, you know, that if that amendment does make it, is it going to pass either House or the Assembly at least?
No. I think the governor's plan was the most responsible plan for both our Wisconsin citizens and when you look at the taxpayers, both federal taxpayers and state taxpayers, this is clearly the most responsible thing to do. Obamacare's budget-busting disaster. It's going to be a crushing burden on taxpayers. We've got an avalanche of new regulations on providers and insurers. It's just, I don't know what to say. I call it a man-made catastrophe, and it's going to unfold slowly, so people will only just become aware of parts of it over time. But every time they become aware of what a disaster it is, then we're dealing with, well, what do we do next? Is there going to be delay, or when will it be ready? I think it represents the Democrats' destruction of our American healthcare system. And, you know, they voted for it. He signed it. They're managing and administering it, and it's just a total disaster. What we're doing in Wisconsin and what I think you'll see us do next month or in early December is we'll be trying to allow people to have more time to make the transition and just give them a way to deal with the failures of Obamacare as it's unrolled.
But what has to happen? Is this tweaking the budget, basically?
Well, not necessarily, although it is coming to joint finance, so I assume maybe they're doing that because there will be an appropriation. To be honest, when the call to the special session came out, they referenced some draft bills. As of last week, I have not seen the actual bill yet. But the senator's right. The idea here is that, you know, Medicaid was always, and from its inception, designed to be health care for the poor in the United States and in Wisconsin. But we ended up coming up with a system where we covered lots of people that weren't in poverty. and we didn't cover other people that were in poverty. We ended up with a system where we were quite generous with the eligibility so that we had many more people on Medicaid than Minnesota did. In fact, even after Minnesota does their expansion, it'll be interesting to see if they go past us and how many people are covered. And they've always had a different system in for healthcare in Minnesota. It's somewhat unique. And, you know, the experts that look at this current differential in the rates will say that it's just about inevitable that in the second year and the third year, Minnesotans are going to see gigantic increases in the premiums, as will people around the United States. Whereas in Wisconsin, we've actually got probably less of that to look forward to, but we've got sort of the death spiral while we're dealing with more of it up front.
All right, I'm sorry to bring the music up, but it's our time. Thank you both very much. Bob Jelk is a Democratic state senator from Poplar who is retiring after his term is up, and Dean Knutson is a Republican state representative from Hudson. Gentlemen, thank you both very much for your discussion this hour. I'd also like to thank Team Westside, including Mort Cypress, Rachel Vick, Tiffany Coggins, and Dean Kallenbeck. Tune in next Monday for a look at the Somali community in Barron. It's part of a series that we're doing on immigrant populations in western Wisconsin. Until then, have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll chat again next Monday morning.